And she said that Jax and Kristen had sex in January.
Woohoo! Yeah! Now we're having fun, people!
I am the devil, and don't you forget it.
You're a boy with a mustache!
I take Dutch comics very seriously.
The war is here!
I'm not sure what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. The only thing I have holding me back is that I have self-respect and dignity. Pumpcast.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Pumpcast. I'm Maddie Drosbeck.
And I'm Meg Ruoco.
And today we're doing it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory grandparent style.
Legs all the way touching, baby.
Yeah. Okay, it's like hot dog style if we were both in the bun.
You know what it is? It's like we're cat dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you cat and I'm dog?
I think so.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, that truly, that does make the most sense, mm-hmm. I feel.
You ever watch Cat Dog?
Yeah, I did back in the day.
Pretty weird show.
Very weird concept.
There was an era back in the Cartoon Network day where they were just doing anything, it seemed.
Wasn't that Nick? Which almost seems weirder, because I think it was Nick.
Whoa.
Because wasn't Aw Real Monsters also Nick? This was like Nick at Night shit.
And now you're losing me.
Oh. Well. This is where we diverge.
Let's talk about what we do know.
And what we do know is that fucking TikTok that I sent you earlier this week about the concept of Renta Schwartz.
Yeah.
Someone, I like wish I knew the lore about this.
Yes.
I need to contact the person who had this life experience.
Because
specifically.
And like, what was their life before it? And what was their life post?
How did they have this connection?
Yes.
Basically. There was this girl on TikTok that posted about how she was like, you know, TBT to the time my dad picked me up from school with Tom Schwartz. And it's just like these random ass photos of like Tom Schwartz driving in the passenger seat and she's in the back seat. Tom Schwartz like holding a backpack. Tom Schwartz waiting in the hallway of an apartment building while they try to open the door. And it's like, what do you mean your dad surprised you at school with Tom Schwartz? Like, I would be terrified.
What could that possibly mean? And then, like, what do you say to him?
This is like a One Direction fan fiction. Like, this is what people used to write back in the day. We're like, imagine. One Direction, imagine. You get called by the front office because someone came to your school with flowers. You walk down to the office. There he is. Niall Horan.
Tom Schwartz.
Like, I just can't. Why? Who, what, where, when, why, and how?
Who, what, where, when, why, and how? And like, I can't, the idea of being in a car with Tom Schwartz.
Being in the back seat while he's riding passenger.
Well, when really like, put him in the back.
Totally. I would feel way more comfortable if Schwartz was in the back
seat,
to be honest.
Put Schwartz in the back seat.
I can't be, I you'd think it maybe it would be the opposite. Like, yeah. I'd want to be behind him so I could have eyes on him.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm.
I need my back to him so he knows that he's my inferior.
Yes.
I am riding passenger. I'm the eldest daughter. He is the baby brother to my eldest daughter. I don't care that he's older than me.
Like, we want Schwartz on Nav?
No way. I don't trust that guy with Waze.
No, we're not putting him not on Waze. We're not putting him on the aux.
Completely.
We're putting Schwartzy on the aux?
No, I don't trust him.
No shot.
If I ever played Wii with Schwartz, I'd make him be player two.
Schwartz, if he had a me, like a personalized me on Wii, would just be the generic me.
You know what? I actually have a Wii. I don't know if you knew this about me.
Why haven't we been playing Wii tennis every time I come over here?
Honestly, I don't know. I never tell people that it's here, but I do have a Wii. And now I'm like, should we make the whole cast of Vanderpump on the Wii?
Yeah, just and then we make fun. The bowl. And then we make the bowl.
Then we make the bowl. We make Jax Taylor go bowling. Every time he pisses us off during the rewatch, we make him go bowling.
We make him get a gutter ball. And he does the little me like,
and I just,
and he like, cries because he loses.
I believe that somehow, somewhere, that energy is
we'll get him back. We'll get him.
He'll be like, oh, someone's bowling with me. I can feel it.
He has spider senses, but only for when someone's bowling with his me.
No, I think this is good.
This is really, I should do that.
That could be like a release for us, I feel.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like getting a lot of anger out.
Right.
Making these.
I spend so much time with Jax Taylor. I have to make him bull.
It's kind of like making little voodoo dolls.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Totally.
But instead of like poking them with little pins, again, we're just like making them snowboard.
No, this is good. It's almost like it becomes the pump cast version of telling someone to fuck off.
Yeah.
It's telling them to go bowling.
How about you go bowling?
How about you freaking go bowling?
How about
dude?
Go bowl? All right, so bowl.
This show is so stupid. All right, so Boof, here we are, beginning of episode 7, and Stassi and Katie are getting Brazilian waxes.
They are at cocktail wax / special wax, and they are...
Hey, so question mark what? Cocktail wax /
special wax.
Right.
If you check the tape...
It's both.
It is cocktail wax is the name of it.
Okay.
And then there's like a little, I think like a little lady in a cocktail, which is kind of, it's thematic because Stassi was in a champagne glass last episode. Yeah. Okay. It's all connected.
Yep.
And then underneath cocktail wax, it says special wax.
Okay. First of all, let's start with the cocktail wax. Hating that name.
What could it possibly mean?
Cocktail wax?
But you know what? It's actually, and I'm realizing this in real time, it makes them having cocktails after getting waxed make so much more sense. Because they had cocktails at the wax place. And I made a comment in my notes being like, why the fuck are they having like cosmopolitans at the wax place?
Okay.
I guess because it's cocktail wax.
Does this still exist?
God, I hope. Add it to the map.
I have never gotten a Brazilian, and I never planned to.
No.
But if it's still open...
I would go.
I would get one for the pumpers.
Well, and also, I feel like have the cocktail before the wax, right? Kind of...
Maybe.
Make it a little less painful?
I guess. But maybe you want a treat afterwards.
Maybe it's like your little special treat for waxing your hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Katie and Stassi are there.
It's Katie's first time, not Stassi's. She's a veteran.
Yeah, she walks in. She says, we want to get our whole vaginas and butts waxed off, which is honestly so funny.
Katie wants Stassi to go first because she's scared. She wants to watch Stassi do it. Katie's in the room with Stassi while it's happening.
Also, it's awesome. We are in the room with Stassi while it's happening.
Well, we see Stassi's cheeks.
Totally.
And waxed.
Totally.
She's waxed up, cheeks out.
Yes. The lady's like, spread your cheeks. And you see Stassi's like,
like you see basically everything but hole.
Butthole.
Yeah.
And literally and I literally was like at some point you see wax in between her cheeks. And yeah. I was like, what were they allowed to show on camera?
What I was thinking is I was like, okay, like you see this kind of like girlhood experience.
Right.
You're getting waxed for the first time. Your bestie's there next to you. You're giggling in the same rooms watching it happen.
Right.
But then I have this moment where I zoom out and I'm like, and there's a cameraman there. And it's like,
cameraman.
How do you feel comfortable with like this cameraman who not only has a mega camera pointed at your cooch, but there's also like a man. There's a man behind
like a gaffer,
the camera operating it.
For sure, there's like a boom guy,
and
too.
And like, they are like seeing hole.
Yes.
Like, they're obviously it's not on camera.
Right.
But like, the people, like, they all saw hole.
And like, it might be on camera.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure
probably
it just
to
like
cut
got edited
it.
Out. Like, the editor saw it, too. Like, this is the stuff I think about that I'm like, that's real different. I guess, like, to be honest with you, I don't know that I would care. I think I'd be like, whatever, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I guess same.
But... it would still like bizarre being like, okay, if just the girls is one thing. Imagining like a crew.
The girls and also Brian.
Right, exactly. I'm like, why the hell is he here?
Why is Brian
I'm
a
like,
part
okay,
of it?
I guess he can be here. Just don't be fucking weird about
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah, get Brian in the mix. What?
All right.
Okay, so Stassi seems to really play up getting her vag waxed. I don't know. Maybe it is super painful. I've also never gotten a Brazilian wax, so I don't know. But Katie's like, ugh, I'm nervous. She tries it. She hates it.
Yeah.
I don't even think they wax all of her.
She's like, I'm not doing the butt. We did the top half and we're cutting it there.
I gotta get out of here. So then they go to the cocktail portion of cocktail wax and have cosmopolitans.
Well, thank God.
Also, just a comment for the woman who runs this place. Looks like she is Xenon Z3's stepmom. She is wearing these like crazy like metallic wraparound sunglasses. And she's like, oh, you've been here before. Like she has like a vague European accent. You're not totally sure where she's from. She's awesome. And she's also the bartender because she brings them cosmopolitan.
Freaking awesome.
Or whatever they're drinking. They are chatting when Stassi gets a text from Jax.
Same shit, different day with this guy.
Like
he just keeps going. He never stops.
Do you get deja vu?
Jax wakes up every day and he's like, how can I repeat all of my mistakes from the day before?
How can I learn nothing? This poor woman. How can I absolutely drive her to madness?
It's like, she's told me 800 times not to text her and that she's not interested. I've also expressed to her multiple times that she can go to hell and I'm fucking other bitches and I don't give a shit about her. But I'm still going to text her every day and like beg for her back and do whatever the hell else I'm doing. Tell her I love her. Just for the fuck of it.
Like, what's going on in his brain? I imagine it's like that SpongeBob episode where you go into his brain and like everything's on fire and like all the files are catching on fire and there are a bunch of little SpongeBobs running around.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Jax.
There really is a SpongeBob episode for everything.
There is. Oh my God. There is. Well, it's really what his brain is when they go into Patrick's brain and it's just just cobwebs and like a single spider dangling down. That is Jax's brain.
Yeah.
And then like Pornhub in the background.
Right.
Fuck. So finally, Katie seems to be somewhat on Stassi's side where for whatever reason, it was Jax talking about the 21-year-old that he banged in front of Stassi that made Katie be like, that's not really a good move. Where she's like, yeah, Jax is like repulsive. Like this is repulsive behavior. It's like, it's not okay. And Stassi calls him a sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
This will come back later.
Sure will.
Think about that.
All right, so boof.
Boof.
We're at Sir.
Yep, yep.
Everybody's working their tables. Mm-hmm. And Sheena tells Stassi that her first article with the Divine Addiction officially went live. And Stassi immediately is like, oh, really? And jokes about leaving a mean comment.
Yeah.
Of course. But they start having this like playful banter back and forth with each other, which this is really the Stassi-Sheena dynamic that I love to see. I start getting giddy and kicking my feeties and toes when this happens.
Yeah, there's a little part of me that's like, kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
And Stassi starts joking back to Sheena. She's like, oh yeah, people leave hate comments under my stuff all the time. And Sheena's like, yeah, because no one likes you. But they're like being playful about it. They're joking, which I love. I love that their beef has sort of molded in the present moment as being something they're both leaning into in a more like giggly way.
Yeah, I think it's fun because I think it's, again, it's like we've talked about this, that they really, there are so many similarities between them. And when things are good, things are like really good between them. They like have this kind of ease and back and forth and whatever. And when the insecurities are not at play, they're having fun with each other.
Yeah.
And then Sheena asks for help.
Yeah.
And here's what I will say. Sheena asks Stassi if she will read her article and give her notes for her next article that's coming up. And Stassi's response is like, okay. She's pretty tepid. And it cuts to a talking head of her being like, sure, Sheena, that's what I want to do on my night off is proofread your fucking article.
Yeah.
What I will say about this is I understand Sheena's strategy.
Yeah. Being like, I trust your perspective.
Yes. She's trying to like
a seasoned writer.
Yeah. She's trying to like play to Stassi's ego a little bit. The problem is that she's also asking Stassi to do labor, which is one of Stassi's least favorite things to do in the entire world.
You know, it was the thought that counts, Sheen. Listen,
she made a valiant effort, but Stassi says yes.
Stassi does say yes, so it works regardless.
Yeah. Cut to Sir a little bit later. It's closing time. Everybody's cashing out. And Lisa comes in. it's very strange that Lisa is here because it's like, why?
Yeah.
She comes in for like maybe 6 minutes and she comes in and she's talking to Peter. She's like, how's everything going? They have honestly a very plain and boring conversation about the night at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then Peter is like, by the way, I'm turning 30 this week, which crazy to think about the fact that we are watching Peter Madrigal himself at our age.
That I don't want to think about
in
it.
This season.
I don't want to think about it.
He's like, I'm turning 30 this week. I'm having my party at Couture.
Right.
Couture Club.
Couture Club.
Poof, 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 poof. Okay. So he's like, I'm having my party at Couture and I would love for you to be there. And Lisa is basically like, oh, that's sweet. No.
Nice try. Don't think so, babes.
Not gonna happen, babes. And he's like, okay.
All right.
Come on.
All right. Worth the shot.
And Lisa walks over to the bar where Jax is closing up. And it's so, again, this whole thing is so strange. It was such a producer thing where it was get in there, talk to them. Where Lisa goes up to Jax and she just goes, remember, Jax, I'm watching you.
Yeah. Which, I'm all for this. Threaten Jax in whatever way you need to, as vague as possible. Like, always let him know to keep an eye out. He's not safe anywhere.
Check his six. We're right behind him. And then she leaves.
Yeah. That's it. Bye, Lisa.
That's it. Okay. It was,
bye, Lisa.
Bye, Lisa.
Thanks for coming to the restaurant. We had a great time.
It's like 2 a.m. Why is she there? So as Jax is cleaning the bar, Stassi walks past and Jax is immediately like, what's the problem?
What?
I thought we were good.
I thought we sorted this all out and I was going to date other people and like you were cool then. We were all cool and everything was fine. I thought we were friends.
When he starts talking like this, his voice literally just sounds like rocks tumbling down a mountain to me. Like he is like, what happened? And I'm like, you are a rabid dog. You deserve once again to be locked in a cage.
I imagine I was talking on Emotionally Online a couple weeks ago about when I was younger, my friends and I used to DIY our own amusement park rides.
Yeah.
And one of the rides that we DIY'd was just a dog crate that we'd fill with pillows and blankets and then shove each other. We'd like rattle it around and shove it. We'd have like 7 12-year-old girls just pushing a dog crate with someone locked inside around a concrete basement. This is what we did every weekend for fun when we were kids.
I thought you meant like create amusement park rides on like Sims or
No, roller coaster tycoon. No, real ones in my friend Kim's basement. Concrete walls. Dog cage that we lined with pillows and blankets and then locked someone inside and then literally 7 12-year-old girls just pushing the shit around. I want to see Jax Taylor in that scenario specifically. And I'll let the 12-year-old girls do what they need to do with him. Put him in that dog cage, knock that shit around a concrete basement. He's not going to know what hit him.
Yeah, we put him in the dog cage to kind of sort him out. What could that possibly mean? It cuts to Jax being like fight clubbed by like a bunch of 12-year-old girls.
I think that could fix him. I think that if he was put in that scenario, we wouldn't have a season 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 of Vanderpump.
I think you're right. He tries therapy. That was never going to work for him.
Give put him in the dog cage. Crate with 7 12-year-old girls and tell me what happens.
Put him in the cage. So he's yelling at Stassi and Stassi is like, are you kidding? And she recaps what happens last week, which if you missed it, she was sitting in a giant champagne glass on a parade float while Jax was yapping in her fucking ear about banging some 21-year-old. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you're just bragging about sleeping with somebody. And he was like, I'm not bragging. And she was like, you were bragging. Why are you like a bad person? And Jax is like, why are you attacking me like this? You're literally attacking me right now. And Stassi goes, because you are a pathological liar, crazy person with insane issues that you need to work out. So stop texting me, stop calling me, or I swear to God, I will quit this job in order to avoid you.
She said what she said. There's no mincing words, Jax Taylor.
Uh-uh.
She is being so clear. She does not fuck with your ass. Shut up. Stop texting her. Let it all be done.
And Jax, in a confessional, is like, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
Like, what is confusing? I can't deal with this. He's being daft on purpose. Stassi Schroeder, I'm so sorry that you ever met this man.
Yes. I'm like, God, what would her life have been like if she hadn't fucking met Jax Taylor?
Jesus Christ. He is a terror.
He's awful. And Stassi is like, I don't care about this anymore. And he's like, I don't care either. Which is a great way to show that he doesn't care.
No, my favorite quote from this scene was Stassi goes, I don't like you. And he goes, after everything I've done. And she goes, exactly. After everything you've done. And it's like, no, yes,
exactly.
The amount of times that Jax has been like, oh, look at everything I've done. Look at everything I've done for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes. You know what? Actually, let's pause there. Yes.
You're right.
Let's take a look at everything you have done to Miss Stassi Schroeder.
Let's take a walk down memory lane, shall we?
Like, that's exactly why this is happening. This is exactly why you're in the position that you're in.
All of it starting with the fact that you were a 31-year-old pursuing a 21-year-old, like, while she was, I believe, still in college.
Right, because he was getting free rent.
Right.
Stassi's dad's footing that bill.
Prison. This is not what Steve McQueen would do.
No, Steve McQueen would never do this, and nor would Paul Newman.
Paul Newman would never do this.
You don't get a salad dressing line by acting like this.
You don't get a sweater line, nor do you get a salad dressing line, okay? So how about you go to the back of the line, okay, Jax? Fuck you. All right?
Oh, my God.
So I also love that at one point he goes, who did I hurt? Because she's like, you've hurt people. And he goes, who did I hurt?
Do we need to start, like, what? Watch the show back. I don't even, like, it's even, like, it's well documented. Like, I don't even know what to tell you. It's like, not only did we live it, but you can relive it several times if you so choose.
Like, I don't think he thought through the fact that when he was on television, his lies wouldn't be able to, like, lie as much.
Right.
Because we can just go back and watch stuff
roll
happen.
The tapes, babe.
Fucking roll it. Like, cut the lights. Like, let's roll it. What are we doing? Okay. And so Stassi is like, listen, I genuinely like cannot believe that I have ever dated anyone like this mean, this cruel, this manipulative. And he goes, God, you say some hurtful things. And Stassi goes, that's how I feel. Why don't you go text that 21-year-old and then go fuck yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Period.
Justice for the divas.
It's so true. Never forget that.
Incredible. And it cuts to a talking head of Stassi where she says something that was so good. I was like, yes, this is so juicy. She says, he has hurt me over and over again, cheated, lied. So I don't mind making him suffer.
Yeah.
Some people may call that bitchy. I just call that being a strong woman.
I agree. I do not give a single shit about anyone being, famously, we don't give a single shit about anyone being mean to Jax, bullying Jax.
Not at all.
Doing anything mean to Jax Taylor. Literally could give less of a fuck.
He is abusive.
Literally fuck that guy.
Fuck.
Like, literally, if everyone was mean to him for the rest of his days, it still wouldn't be enough.
Yeah. And Stassi literally is like, I'm mean with my words. You are mean with your actions.
Right.
That is so much worse.
Exactly.
Because it is.
I'm being a bitch. You're like genuinely a bad person.
Yes.
These are two different things.
Yes. You're like a psychological and physical terror.
Yeah. Right. You're a danger to be around.
Genuinely a dangerous person. That is different.
That is an entirely different ballgame.
They are also having this fight critically in front of everyone at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Everyone who's closing up.
Right. The employees counting tips to the tune of this argument.
Like, and everyone's just kind of watching, being like, it's like when you're over at your friend's house and their parents start fighting
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, oh. Right.
Yeah.
Like, over in the corner, like petting the dog.
And the conversation ends with Stassi being like, that's it, you can go now, and dismisses him like she's fucking Judge Judy, which I love.
She's so awesome. And I love when she does that.
Jax, for the umpteenth time, says, this is it. I'm giving up. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm finally done trying to pursue Stassi.
If I had a dollar for every time Jax gave up, we would be able to pay for like 100 more Jax cameos.
For real. Like that's not even an exaggeration, no. Really.
He says he gives up at least once an episode. Multiple times.
It's insane.
He gives up all the time. Also, the music in this episode was awesome.
I didn't even notice it.
When he maybe it's because I had my subtitles on.
Oh.
But when he walks away, it's like, or they like part from one another. It's some song that's like, no, it ain't worth this fight. Strange life.
The music choices on Bravo are incredible.
I don't notice
them as much with Vanderpump, but they're really bad on Summer House.
Yeah.
And they probably do this in Vanderpump too, and I just didn't notice it. But on Summer House, they reuse the same songs over and over again.
Oh, I bet they do that on Vanderpump
too. I'm sure. But I feel like for some reason, they don't strike me as being as bad.
Yeah.
The Summer House ones, like, are horrible. They're like, we're having fun in the sun today. Woohoo! At the beach. Boop, 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 boop. And then they do the same thing every single time. And I'm like, I've heard this fucking one before. And it was dumb the first time I heard it. And now you're making me listen to it 7 more times.
So awesome. Oh my God. Okay. So Boof. We're at Tom and Kristen's apartment.
Getting ready for date night.
Date night. You guys will get that later.
Yeah. Come back to this episode in like season 5.
Yeah. Like what? 4 years from now or some shit? You're going to laugh and laugh. Okay. And I am just, listen, the Tom and Kristen subplot. Ah, God, I love it. It's so awesome. Everything, every choice that they make is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The two, they are getting ready to go to a Korean barbecue for date night. And Tom, first of all, as they're getting ready, Tom takes off his shirt immediately. Maybe to change, but he could have changed before.
Yeah.
The camera people showed up.
For sure.
He takes off his shirt immediately, and he says that the reason that he and Kristen are going out tonight is because, once again, Kristen is a ticking time bomb regarding the whole Ariana and Tom rumor situation,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to squash it. So his solution is to take Kristen, who is a vegetarian, to a Korean barbecue.
I genuinely believe that he's trying to get Kristen to break up with him.
This is negligence.
I'm just like, I don't believe him.
Call CPS for Kristen.
Like, when he is saying, he's like, you know, there's all this drama. She's a ticking time bomb. So we got to settle this. I'm like, I actually believe what he means by that is let's just speed up the time bomb.
Yes.
He wants it to explode.
He does.
There's just... You're going to take your vegetarian girlfriend to a Korean barbecue restaurant for date night. You're saving grace date night. That's supposed to save your relationship.
What are we doing?
You're either the dumbest person alive or you're trying to get that woman to break up with you.
Yeah. And I would argue that it's the latter.
Yeah.
I think that the only reason that he didn't break up with her is because he would be perceived as the bad guy if he did it.
Yeah.
I think that's the only reason that he didn't break up with Kristen.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vinted. I feel like I am in a constant state of trying to clean out my wardrobe and make space in my apartment. These New York closets are no joke. You've really got to be choosy about what clothes you're bringing in and what pieces have got to go. And Vinted really came into my life at the exact right time because Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday sellers, people like you and me, to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money in the process. When I'm cleaning out my closet, whether it's because an item doesn't quite fit me right anymore or it's just not my style, I always feel better about moving on knowing that my pre-loved clothes are going to be loved again by someone else. My own personal rule is that if a full year, all 4 seasons pass me by and I don't go to reach for an item of clothing, it's going on Vinted. It's super easy to list your clothes and there's absolutely no selling fees. So you keep everything that you earn. It feels so good to have a less cluttered closet and successfully close my drawers without shoving things in, crossing my fingers, and just hoping that they fit. And Vinted is free to download. So not only are there no seller fees and you get to keep everything that you earn, but the app is completely free to download. It's so simple. Once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. You literally have no excuse not to sign up and start listing your pre-loved items on Vinted today. See what's hiding in your closet. You might be surprised how much you can earn with Vinted. Download the Vinted app for free to start listing with no seller fees.
Even though it is the right thing to do, yeah, and everybody sees it,
for sure,
he's just like, well, I'm bad if I break up with her.
Because I fucked this random girl.
So instead, I got to take her to Korean barbecue.
He's truly such a bozo.
They also look like they're going to church when they're going to their date night.
Yeah. And then did you notice when they walk out the door and the apartment door closes, they have like a hand-drawn sign on the back of their apartment front door that says, don't open doors naked.
Yes.
And it literally looks like it was like craft hour.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody shittily made this sign. Don't open doors naked.
Okay.
Was there an incident where Tom Sandoval flashed your neighbor or something because he opened the front door, dick and balls on display? Like, why is that a sign DIY'd in your house? There has to be a story there. Like, you don't put that up for no reason. Something happened, and I want to know what it was.
And the sign also looks like worn.
Right. It's like this, like, it's like janky DIY sign.
It's been there for a while. Yes.
Edges of the paper curled.
Boof, I guess. We're over at Jax's apartment.
Tom Schwartz shows up looking like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
He looks fucking crazy.
Which I feel like once I put that together in my mind, I'm like, Tom Schwartz, look, he always looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
He kind of does.
But he does, especially in this scene.
Yeah. He always either looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid or that little Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. That's his range. It's the Cabbage Patch Doll to Cinnamon Toast Crunch piece pipeline.
Cabbage spectrum. To crunch pipeline.
Yeah.
Spectrum.
There he is.
That's Schwartzy. And I guess he's just there to like pump Jax up before Jax's date tonight.
Uh-huh.
Date night. It's another date night for the pumpers out there. Mm-hmm. And I am also just like continuing to love like the camera operators, the cam ops guys on this show. They are just doing something else. Like, they deserve award after award after award because Jax and Schwartz are kind of like sitting talking about his date coming up. And Schwartz is like, here, I got you these. And like tosses him a box of Magnum condoms. Uh-huh. And Jax is like, oh, yeah, I definitely need these. And Schwartz is like, yeah, they were a little too small for me, so I figured I'd hand them off to you. And at that moment, it's so quick. But at that moment, the camera so briefly like zooms in on Schwartz's gray pants that are utterly flat.
Yeah, like, no, these camera people are incredible at what they do.
They're making art. They are doing something iconic. And Jax mentions that the girl that he's going on a date with is like some girl that whose number he got when he was at Sir, and that he's really excited to be dating again. And then they're talking about cologne. Once again, the guys, when left to their own devices in any scene, are so boring to watch.
Well, I just like, my whole brain shuts off. They start talking about ball sack cologne and I'm like, you know what? I'm actually not supposed to be here for this. Stop telling me about that.
It's just like white noise, like genuinely in my ears. I'm like, I don't need to know about any of that.
Don't tell me about that.
Yeah. Schwartz is like, you should have your own ball sack cologne. And Jax to that goes, I'm going to be balls deep later.
Can you imagine going on a date with someone and then watching this conversation back?
I literally was just about to say, imagine. Imagine this is a One Direction imagine. Imagine Jax Taylor has asked you out on a date. Ah, you're already scared. but he's charmed you. You don't know him. So he's charmed you and he's like wooed you and he's taking you to this fancy little dinner and you're all excited. And at the end of dinner, he's like, yeah, I don't know. What do you want to do? Maybe go to my place and watch a movie. And you're like, hee hee, okay. And he gives you a tender little kiss on the lips. You wake up the next day, you're like, wasn't that fun? I had so much fun with my new guy that I'm dating, Jax. Then 6 weeks later, this fucking episode comes out. And you're like, oh my God, yeah, that guy that I went on that date with who like never texted me back. What a freak. I didn't realize he was on this show. You tune in and you hear the guy that you went on a date with 4 hours before the date go, I'm going to be balls deep later. I would kill.
It's incredible.
I would kill him with a gun.
Yeah. No, I actually can't imagine.
I would kill him with a gun.
I was also thinking about this last week in the context of the ballerina girls they met at the bar.
Yes.
Imagine going with your besties for a night out and ending up on a Bravo show. And you wake up the next morning, you're super fucking hungover and you're like, what did we fucking do? Guess what, bitch? You signed off on a release form that allows you to be broadcast all over Bravo with Jax Taylor and you kissed him. Ah! Like, that is such a nightmare.
That's just in the world forever.
I can't imagine waking up to worse news. I feel so bad for Dina the ballerina because she lived that.
Imagine the worst hangover you've ever had combined with the fact that you slept with Jax Taylor. Combined with the fact that you then signed a release form for it to be broadcast all over the Bravo network for the rest of your life.
Incredible. Dina, where are you now?
Dina, we would love to have you on the podcast.
Niche perspectives. We want them. You were there when it happened. Kind of.
Please. You were in the room where it happened. The room where it happened.
For at least 20 minutes. At least 20 minutes.
The room where it happened.
All right, so Boof, cut to Korean barbecue where things are going in the tubes already, I fear.
I need to like rein it in because genuinely I will just like not be able to get through this scene. This entire thing, straight up, I had to pause so many times because I was laughing so hard at just like what this circumstance is.
It's like I was really uncomfortable.
You are at a Korean barbecue with your Chungus boyfriend who you fucking hate. Who in his like last shot to save yep. this dynamic.
Your Chungus boyfriend who cheated on you.
Yes.
Fucked a random woman raw, no condom, in a shower in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Now rumored to maybe be hooking up with another one of your various coworkers.
And his Chungus solution to all of this...
was to take your vegetarian ass to Korean barbecue.
Imagine telling your friends that.
I know you love to watch me roast meats. I know you love when I roast meats for me.
I know you love when I'm rubbing a pork shoulder just to put it on the grill for a long day. Slow roast it.
My girlfriend loves watching me roast weenies. She's always said that. But like genuinely, he must think something in order to be like in his head. He's like, this is our saving grace, like last ditch effort to save this relationship. This date has gotta, like, we gotta pull this one off. I have an idea. Korean barbecue, even though my girlfriend is a vegetarian. Like, he genuinely in his brain has to be like, well, Kristen loves seeing me eat my favorite foods.
Yeah.
Because why else would he think that this was a good idea?
There's no, he didn't even think about Kristen at all. What it was,
I love beef. I love beef.
So the waiter,
it's him like dialing down the bar at Sir, being like, how am I gonna save my freaking Chungus relationship?
Beef. The waiter comes over to the table. They're like, what are you thinking? What are you going to order? Whatever. And Kirsten's like, so where? What are like the vegetarian options you guys have? I'm like not seeing much.
And the waiter is like, vegetarian.
So this is Korean barbecue. I don't know if you knew that. And her options are kimchi and spicy cabbage stew.
Could you name a less romantic dish if you tried?
And Tom literally looks at Chris and he goes, that sounds good. I literally would have taken his head and pushed it into the grill.
Beef.
Young, you want some? Okay. What did you order the spicy cabbage stew then, you fucking chungo? I can't do it.
My fucking Mungo Chungo boyfriend is forcing me to eat cabbage stew. I hate my life.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
And he meanwhile in his head, you know, he's like, well, you know what? I think this is going really well. I think the relationship is saved.
And I genuinely think, like, because when Kristen is like, well, I don't really like spicy and I don't really like cabbage, I think what flashes through his mind is like, God, she's being so freaking difficult.
Right.
Like, I think that's what's totally going through his head. It's like, she just can't. She's just so uptight.
She has vegetarian options.
She's not like my chill, cool friend, Ariana, who's hot and like a dude and so laid back.
Ariana would never have to even consider ordering the spicy cabbage stew.
Ariana would slurp down that spicy cabbage stew while I would eat my beef. God, this would be a perfect date if I was on it with my cool friend, Ariana.
So in the midst of everything already going this poorly, Tom decides, you know what? Let's talk about the conflict our friend group has been experiencing at large.
Let's talk about a couple who I know is doing worse than us.
And so Tom brings up Stassi and Jax, and Kristen's like, he just needs to stop talking to her. And Tom's like, you know, I don't know why he would even get her name tattooed and just say, you know, fuck everything that I've been working on. And Kristen immediately is like, well, you know, a lot of guys are like that. There are actually a lot of guys that seem to be putting effort into a relationship and then one day decide to just throw all that effort away with one small action. That's so crazy that you would bring that up, Tom.
Yeah, a lot of guys seem to go after girls who are a sure thing instead of going home to their girlfriends who are waiting for them.
Right. She basically just holds up a mirror and it's like, Tom, why the fuck would you even bring this up?
I'm looking with the man.
Like, I'm like, you, how does Tom, he's sitting there talking about Jax and what Jax does. And in his head, he's like, no possible similarities there to me.
That doesn't sound like me. What? That doesn't sound like me.
I would never do anything like that.
That doesn't really sound
no, it's like, see, like, Jax fucks 21-year-olds. I fuck random bottle waitresses in a shower in Vegas with no condom on. It's totally different, actually.
I fuck 23-year-olds.
Yeah, I don't, he's got his info wrong.
That's not me.
And, like, why would he get the tattoo just to, like, throw it all away for a 21-year-old?
Like, I don't get tattoos.
No, I would never do that. And if I did, I would only throw it away for
someone really hot.
Yeah, it would be, have to be, like, awesome.
Yeah, if she was really hot. But, babe, I would never get my, I would never get an ex's name tattooed on my freaking body. Have you seen my body? You don't put bumper stickers on a Lamborghini, baby. I would never do that to you.
I would literally never do that. I would never cheat on you unless I did.
Yeah.
I would never do that again.
And if I did, it would be for a really good reason.
Trust that if I did do it again, I had a great time. And at the end of the day, we just want each other to be happy, right? You want me to be happy, don't you?
Babe, are you saying you don't want me to be happy right now?
Babe, just enjoy your spicy cabbage stew.
Babe, eat your stew. Eat your stew. He's like force feeding her stew. Waterboarding her with stew.
Cornelius is here.
And they end up leaving pretty soon after that. I mean, because the date is horrible.
What more else is there to say, really?
Nothing. But it's done. Both the date and their relationship. It's all done. Okay, so boof. Over to another date night at Beso. Jax and this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what her name is. I didn't catch it. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Sorry to that woman.
Sorry to that woman. I'm sure you're great. they're walking into the restaurant, and I love this first exchange because it just so boils down everything that Jax is as a person, because she says, I'm excited. Then he says, are you excited? And then she says, I am.
Right. This is why he has to date younger. This is the amount of intellect that he can funnel into a conversation. He like is forced to date as young as he possibly can get because this is it to him.
Yes. That's all he can do. All he know is Hooter.
All he know is Hooter, and never forget that.
Never forget that. So they go into Baso and they sit down, and this first date is so insane.
Yeah.
It's so formal. It's so fancy.
He's also like a little intense.
Yes. He's very, it's not even really love bombing.
No.
It's more just like he's going over a checklist.
Yeah.
Of what he thinks should happen between a man and a woman.
Well, I really feel like he's just trying to find a woman that he can bring along with him to torture Stassi.
Yes.
So he's just trying to see who can tick all the boxes quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I feel like things are going really well. I'm really liking the vibe between us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you feel it? I feel it. We're all feeling it.
And she's like, yeah, no, it's great. And also, like, you know, things are cool. Things are casual. It doesn't need to be any serious. Doesn't need to be any drama. And he's like, no, totally, totally, totally.
Totally, you know, I've always said that. Very casual, very cool.
Totally. I'm cool. And it's also just astonishing to me, like, just how boring their conversation is.
Yeah, that's a whole nothing burger.
It is so nothing burger. It's honestly, it's kind of astounding because I'm like, is this just kind of how, like, hot people talk to each other?
It's entirely possible.
Canonically hot people, you know, where, yeah, like they've been is hot, and that's right, just kind of what they have.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, you from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. Yeah, that's cool. You're from Jersey. Jersey Shore. Ha ha ha.
I always want to go to Jersey Shore. Maybe someday. You know, I feel like we're really hitting it off right now. Do you feel a spark?
It's like two, AI bots talking, yeah, to each other.
It's crazy.
You've got two AI bots on the phone and they're both speaking. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
And yourself?
Fine.
Oh.
Oh.
What was that?
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean
to. Sorry, I didn't mean.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So Jax in his talking head is like, this date is going awesome. I am having an awesome time on this date. And listen, I've never had an issue when it comes to picking up women. My game is, I don't have a game.
Right. We know.
Right.
You're just a terror.
Right. And they end up going home together.
Great. Miraculously.
Another incredible song to like write us out of this scene, which it goes, your love is a poison. Romeo just wants a bite. Your strength is my weakness. And then it cuts.
What?
Where did Romeo come from?
Maybe we need to make our own versions of these.
Oh my God. And those are our transitions?
We put lyrics to the transitions that we have. We need to write some.
We do. And it's just every single week it's new lyrics based, yeah, off of what we just said.
Yeah. That's so funny.
That could be good. Okay. So boof. We're at Sir. And Jax is there and he is super hungover from his date.
Yeah, he says that he's so tired because he slept somewhere that he just shouldn't have last night.
Maybe I slept somewhere.
He's like, I'm on a downward spiral. I fucked 7 girls in 2 weeks. Like, fuck. I'm being crazy these days. He's literally like tucking his hair behind his ear. He's like, I'm feeling a little crazy suddenly. I don't know what's got into me.
He's like that meme of whatever that singer is that's like, and men find me attractive because of my tiny frame and my little voice. And I have my little girl voice and my little girl body that men just love. That's Jax Taylor talking about sleeping with women and him being on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
You're doing nothing. It's fine. You're fine. Literally,
you know what's crazy is when I was taking notes on this episode, I wrote, go to therapy. More on this later.
More on this later. Okay. And so Lisa walks up. She also walks up with an insane start to how she starts this conversation. She goes, yes.
I didn't notice
that's
that.
That's how she walks up.
Yes.
She goes, yes. I'm like, what? Hello? Okay. And Lisa's like, you seem like you had a crazy night last night. And he's like, oh, I went on a date, blah, blah. And she's like, well, you had time to get your freaking eyebrows waxed. And he's like, I know, right? They look amazing.
Clock these men, Lisa.
Men in L.A., what's going on over there?
They love getting waxed over there.
Everybody's getting everything waxed over there. Keep some hair on your bodies. Maybe it's because it's so temperate.
I literally have a headache.
You just don't. You think they don't need that extra protection?
Maybe. Do you think it's because it's so temperate? Literally, I feel like it's 2 a.m. in a sleepover right now. Everything that you're saying is just like really resonating for me.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And Lisa and Jax keep talking, and Lisa's like, you are revenge dating. That's what you're doing. You're trying to do this so that you can get back at Stassi. And Jax is like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And Lisa's like, yeah, you are. Just admit it. Okay. And they briefly talk about Peter's birthday again. And Lisa mentions that maybe she'll go. She doesn't know.
Who knows?
Maybe and Jax
is like, well, I don't think I'm going to go because I don't really want to argue with Stassi.
And Lisa's like, you know that you could just go and not argue with Stassi, right?
I was like, Peter's your friend. You like you should show up for his birthday for sure.
Yeah. But he, whatever, says that he's not going to go. And in the midst of all of this, Jax also soft launches going to therapy.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I've been thinking about going back to therapy.
And this is so interesting to me because he says, last year I went to therapy and I loved it. And it makes me wonder, does Jax think that you only need to go to therapy once a year?
That's exactly what I wrote. I was like, I love that it appears that in Jax's mind, to go to one therapy session counts as going to therapy.
Right.
He's like, oh, I did therapy before. Going to one session is not like having gone through therapy in the past. It takes months to develop a relationship with a therapist and like have them understand the history of you as a person so that they can actually help you. Like I've been with my current therapist for like 3 or 4 years now, I think. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like it took like the 2 year mark before we really started hitting the like deep stuff. And I feel like she knew me.
Yeah.
2 years of seeing each other every week.
Yeah.
I think that is standard.
Yes.
I'm like, you have to be in it for a long enough amount of time for you to feel comfortable, for your therapist to know you and like all of your complexities, to see you in different settings and emotional states. Like they're just, you have to live life. There's some things that just take time.
Right.
When people go to therapy for like 3 months and they're like, I did it, I'm done. I'm like, you didn't do what you think you did.
No.
And I don't know how to tell you that in a way that you're going to understand.
Yeah.
But there are some things that just take time that you actually can't speed up the process on.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
Yes.
To me.
It, no, I completely agree. I've like, I've been on a break from therapy for maybe like the past year or so. That said, I was in therapy for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And like that, yeah, it takes time. And there are still things that you like work through and maybe like you think through it, but you're not really feeling it and you're not processing it in the way that you need to. And things that take multiple sessions and multiple aspects of your life and how all of these things are interconnected and play into one another. Not to mention the fact that Jax is not a reliable narrator right. of his own life.
He like went to one therapy session and lied the whole time.
The
and
entire
he's like,
time.
You know, I had a really good experience when I went to therapy.
I loved therapy.
You didn't even do it. You didn't do any of what you were supposed to do.
She told me I was awesome. And I was the most honest boy she'd ever met.
He just like needs an audience.
Yeah, that's what he needs. And that's what he loves about therapy is that he has
right.
a woman paying attention to him for an hour.
Yes.
Undividedly. Okay. So Lisa is like, are you going to lie? And Jax is like, nuh-uh, I'm going to tell the truth. And she's like, okay,
I'll believe it when I see it.
Good luck, sister. Okay, so Boof, we're at Bird's, some sort of restaurant. And Sheena and Stassi are meeting up for a beverage. And they both get the same drink, which I think is emblematic of the fact that they are two sides of the same coin.
Twins, skinny, spicy margaritas for the girls.
Okay, and they like briefly talk about the article. Sheena like reads it to her. It's like 20 words.
Yeah, she like doesn't even, they don't even really go over the article. She's like, okay, so basically we're doing an article about contouring and it's like step one, do this, step two, do this. And then I have like video examples linked out to YouTube and like that's what it is.
Yeah.
And Stassi's like, sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds great. Sounds like me. Okay.
Really productive meeting, girls.
And then they immediately kind of go into the fact that they have had this weird, strained relationship for the past year or so, basically. And they're kind of getting along. Like, they're starting to, like, vibe with each other again and, like, whatever. And then Sheena kind of starts to ruin it a little bit.
She has foot and mouth disease
she
sometimes.
She does. She has footless and toothless disease. And she's like, yeah, like, I'm so glad that we're doing this and I'm so glad that we're getting drinks. And I told Lisa that we're patching things up, so it's all good.
And Stassi's like, okay, well, this is kind of part of the issue that we've had, because why are you even like doing reports on me to Lisa and trying to make her see me differently?
Right. And Sheena's like, no, I didn't. I'm not trying to, you know, make you the bad guy or whatever. And Stassi's like, well, that's really interesting because we both used to be Lisa's favorites and now you're her favorite and I'm some sort of villain. So what happened there? And Sheena's like, trust me, if I was trying to take you down, you would know.
I love her. She's like, it's water under the bridge. You should be thanking me. Like, trust me, it's all good with Lisa. It's all in the past. Don't even worry about it, girl.
And Stassi's like,
okay.
Okay.
You know, whatever. I don't even care that much.
And in a talking head, Stassi's basically like, you know, it's easier for me to just let Sheena think that we're best friends so that my bosses aren't mad at me. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We are at Club Couture for Peter's 30th.
Yeah.
Peter is 30 with a baseball bat.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I've always said that.
There's something to that. And God, what I would give to celebrate Peter Madrigal.
I know. God.
Fuck.
Peter, call us. Peter Palooza incoming.
Peter Palooza, please.
Peter Palooza 2026 can still happen.
Call us, please.
We're waiting. The phone lines are open. Call now.
Call, please. Okay. So everybody's there. Everybody's drinking. The girls, Kristen, Christina, Kelly, Katie, and Stassi are all drinking without Sheena, and Sheena's kind of getting upset about it, but she's like, whatever, I'm here for Peter, I'm here to have fun, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Lisa and Ken show up.
What a birthday present that is.
Wow. God, what I would give to be at this birthday party. And Lisa starts like buying everybody drinks, mm-hmm. and she's like, it's all me. And she's kind of like trying to like kick up some drama.
Yeah, she always is.
She goes to Danny God, and she's her. like, Peter's birthday, seems like someone should really do something.
Yeah, come on. Someone's going to celebrate and kick up the fun in here.
And Danny's like, do what? And Lisa's like, I don't know, something.
But Sheena overhears this and she's like, oh, Lisa wants someone to like really start the party while I want to maintain my position as Lisa's favorite. So I'm going to hop in and really liven up the room.
Let's start the party. Come on, come on, everyone. Let's start the party. What you waiting for? Yeah.
This is exactly what Sheena does.
That's what Sheena does. And she starts to give Peter Madrigal himself a lap dance,
which is awesome. Also, Peter's shirt is off.
He takes off his shirt.
Shirt off at the bar. He's sitting on a couch. Sheena's fully giving him a lap dance. Shay, Sheena's boyfriend, is watching from the corner like, yeah, go Sheen. Shay does not give a single shit.
Also, I do want to just make note, because this is important. Sheena's quote unquote lap dance is far from sexy.
Yeah.
It is so like, I don't know, like it's real fast.
Yeah.
It's very just like energetic and lively. It's not like she's like trying to like stroke his dick or something.
No, I think honestly it's made weirder by the fact that Peter's not wearing a shirt.
For sure.
I think if Peter was wearing a shirt, it yeah. probably would come off differently. But the fact that he's like half naked in a public establishment.
So strange.
And Sheena's dancing on him. From the outside eye, it is a little bit like, what is happening over there?
Yeah. Katie is watching all of this, and she seems like a lot drunker than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts kind of like slut shaming Sheena.
Well, because when Sheena finishes the dance, she goes, okay, Katie, your turn.
Yes.
And tries to like pass it off to have Katie start dancing on Peter next.
Right. And Katie's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm practically engaged, which is like, you're not.
But Sheena responds and she goes, well, so am I.
Yeah. And Katie does not like that.
And Sheena's like, boo, I'm just trying to get the party started. Like, it's not that serious. Don't yep. be like weird about it. It's not like that. We're just trying to be silly and have fun. Like, don't start a beef over this.
And Katie, like, at one point goes up to Tom, to Schwartz, and is like, I respect you too much to do that. And Schwartz goes, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't give a fuck.
Like, Schwartz doesn't give a fuck.
So then all of, like, the girls, Christina Kelly, Stassi, Katie, and Kristen, walk outside, and there's, like, a booth outside. It kind of even looks similar to Sir Alley out
there. It does,
there.
Yeah.
And they are just outside sitting in this booth, and Katie is shitting on Sheena.
Yeah.
Just being like, why would she give Peter a lap dance? Ew, what does your boyfriend think about that? Her boyfriend is there.
Yeah.
He sees all of it. He literally doesn't give a fuck.
Doesn't seem
Shay
to care at all.
Seems like he's totally cool with this.
Yeah. And Sheena comes outside and overhears Katie like truly being like cruel about yeah. Sheena. And in a talking head, Sheena is like, when Katie has had too many drinks, she becomes a different person. And by different, I mean evil.
Yeah. It honestly is very confusing why Katie is so mad about this. Because it's like the whole Sheena doing a lap dance on Peter. Would I do it? Probably not. Would I judge someone else for doing it if that was okay within the bounds of their relationship? No.
No.
It's like, it, just because you wouldn't do something or you wouldn't feel comfortable doing that or you don't want to doesn't mean you have to be like, you disgusting Sheena.
Yeah.
Because she's fine with it and that's okay within the, you know, boundaries of her relationship. Clearly the people involved don't give a fuck. Why do you? You are not involved in this at all.
And it kind of kickstarts, I think, for me, a lot of like what my issue was with Katie in a lot of these seasons is that Katie is really quick to like slut shame people.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that part of that stems from jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it stems from her wanting to feel more sexually liberated.
Because she's already mentioned that she and Schwartz don't have sex as often as she would like. And she doesn't feel as
yeah.
appreciated and desired by him.
Yeah. I think that she really resents women who express either desire or wanting to be desired
mm-hmm.
or their sexuality in public because she feels that that has been so
yeah
push down.
I think that's a good read.
Because I had that same thought where I was like, this feels so visceral and it feels so intense that I was like, it really feels like it's coming from a place of like,
for sure,
wishing that she could be that person.
Yeah, 100%.
And so Sheena comes out and is, you know, listening to Kate, hearing Katie say all of these horrible things. And she walks up to them and she's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? And Katie starts like going in on Sheena. And Sheena is like, I'm secure in my relationship. Like, I don't, Shay is fine with it. Peter's like, we're all fine with it. What's going on? And Katie's like, you are just like a slut. You don't respect yourself, like blah, blah, blah. And Kristen says something to the effect of, because she needs to be involved in fucking everything, she has Lisa Vanderpump disease, where she's like, why are you even sitting here? Like, you're not friends with any of us.
It's just like really textbook mean girl shit.
So mean girl. And Sheena's like, oh, I'm not friends with any of you. Sorry, Stassi, I didn't realize that we weren't friends.
We literally hung out yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, hello, are you going to stick up with me or what?
And Stassi doesn't.
She doesn't say a word.
No.
She's not defending Sheena. She's not defending Katie and Kristen. She's just sitting there silently.
Yeah.
Watching on.
Yeah.
Which, if anyone else did that, Stassi would lose her mind about it. So it's a little ironic that she's doing that to Sheena.
Hypocritical.
Yeah.
Kristen and Sheena start yelling back and forth. And everyone also was yelling about the fact that, like, Kristen and Katie are yelling at Stassi for not sticking up for them. Sheena is yelling at Stassi for not sticking up for her. And at that point, Peter comes out and is like, what the fuck is going on? Everyone stop arguing. It's my birthday.
Right.
Like, stop.
And it does at some point in that back and forth cut to a confessional of Stassi where she's like, oh, Sheena fully did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Katie and Kristen are the ones in the wrong here, but Katie's my best friend. So I'm staying silent because I don't want to go against Katie, but I'm fully not on Katie's side right now.
Yeah. At one point, Peter has a talking head where he goes, Katie and Kristen are ripping into Sheena for giving me a lap dance. It's my birthday. I want all these women to give me a lap dance. Stop it.
Which is just like, yeah, he has his priorities.
He really does. Yeah. Katie is just like a train that is running off the tracks. Like, there is no stopping her. Peter gets like fed up with them yelling at him. He goes back inside. Shay comes out because he, of course, hears about the fact that everyone is yelling at Sheena. And Shay starts to kind of try to like defend Sheena and be like, Katie, like, what are you doing? Please stop it. Katie, so hammered at this point, is like, Shay, we're not going to have a conversation where you can't conjugate any kind of verbiage vernacular. And Shay goes, what does that even mean?
He's like, what did you just say to me? Literally, like, genuinely, what are the words that you just came out of your mouth
and that you communicated to me? And they're fighting outside. Sheena has now moved inside, and she's actually now talking to Schwartz about the fact that Katie has been yelling at her, and like, she's crying and trying to like stop her tears. And Schwartz is like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. I feel like I have to like apologize on behalf of Katie. And he's like, they don't mean that. And Sheena says, Katie says what she means when she drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And Schwartz says, she's really mean when she drinks.
This is the introduction of Tequila Katie.
Yes. Where so much that Katie keeps down in her day to day all comes out when she's drinking in a really, really cruel way.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually Sheena and Shay both leave, and they're in front kind of talking about the fact that like Katie is an angry drunk and like they are just over it. They're going to leave. They get in a cab. They drive off, and Schwartz goes out into the alley where Katie and all of them still are.
Because Katie is still raging.
She is raging.
She's still going off like, okay, just go off and go grind on Peter's dick inside. Keep going. Just go home, you fucking slut. Like, she is rattling off these insults. Sheena's not even there anymore.
Yeah.
Again, why she's so mad about this, beyond me.
Yeah. She should go to therapy with Jax. And Schwartz is like, Katie, what the fuck? Like, why were you yelling at Sheena like that? And Katie, of course, is not hearing any of it. She's like, oh, just go back in there. I'm sure Sheena will give you a lap dance, freaking pull down your pants, and she'll grind her ass on your dick. Like, she's saying shit like that. But so crazy. And she's like yelling to all of her girlfriends. She's like, my own boyfriend is sticking up for the whore in there.
It's like one of my favorite Katie quotes, though. Like the way she says it, like her voice is like boomeranging. My own boyfriend is sticking up for the whore in there. Like it's really just like poetry the way she delivers it.
It feels as though it's like being pulled out of her by like some other entity. It's so fascinating.
And Schwartz is like, you are out of line right now. Like you you are going like way off the rails. Sheena was just playfully doing a little lap dance and now you're questioning her fidelity. And Katie's like, I'm out of line. What are you doing right now? It's like there's just no communicating with her right now. None. Everyone just needs to put a pin in this conversation because it's not happening tonight.
Everyone is like public enemy number one in Katie's eyes. Okay? So, boof. Jax is at therapy.
Somehow even scarier than the scene we just witnessed.
It's the same therapist as last time.
He's wearing his Clark Kent glasses to try to cosplay that he's taking therapy seriously.
I made a note, that old John Mulaney bit that's like, and he's wearing glasses to show that time has changed. It's like amazing.
And then in his confessional, Jax is like, I like going to therapy because it's an opportunity to vent to someone who doesn't know you. There's no reason to lie. What are we just say words now that mean nothing. You famously, the last time you were here, you did lie.
Yeah.
So what?
You just lie. You lie all the time. And he's kind of recapping the fact that when he was at therapy last time, he lied and that he did cheat on his girlfriend, Stassi. And he kind of gets into this fact that he really goes off the rails when it comes to sex a lot. And he has sex with a lot of women and can't really be stopped and he doesn't know what's wrong. And the therapist is like, it sounds like you might be a sex addict. And he's like, that's a thing.
Whoa, that's crazy, you think? He's like, I can't be faithful. I can't do it. It's too hard.
Yeah. Fuck, it's so difficult to be faithful.
And Jax is like, it could have been anyone. It wasn't a reflection of Stassi that I cheated. It wasn't a reflection of the other woman. Like it could have been anyone. It could have been a jar of peanut butter. This we know to be true about men.
Unfortunately, is true about men. And in a talking head, he's talking about the fact that he has slept with around 300 women. And he goes, I'm not ashamed of like some of the women I've... You know, I am ashamed. I am ashamed of some of the sexual encounters
that I've had. Oh, my God.
It's so insane. And the therapist is like, hey, you know, you don't have to be this way. Like, you can
you can change.
Yeah, you can, like, make different decisions.
Step one is admitting that something is not right here. And Jax is basically like, that's, like, really hard, though.
Yeah.
Like, it basically seems like he in his head, thought that, like, admitting and being honest was like where it started and ended.
Yeah.
Where it was like, well, I'm just going to say these things out loud and like be honest about things. Like, I can't be faithful. I love cheating and I've cheated on like most of my girlfriends and I just love having sex and banging hot chicks. And the second the therapist was like, you can change, he was like, I don't know if I want to though.
Ooh, God, that sounds hard.
Yeah, that sounds like really difficult. And honestly, like I'm having really fun.
Yeah, it's
a lot of fun just cheating. So
something, and she's like, I can give you books that could maybe help with what you're going through. And he was like, she was like, do you like to read? And he goes, yeah, I like to read.
And then he goes, you know, I just saw The Great Gatsby at the movie theaters. And she's like, so we're thinking like very different kind of books. Also, that movie was Cheeks. Yeah. And Jax is like, and it was awesome. I saw The Great Gatsby. It was like really good.
So okay. Therapy is going really well for Jax. Okay. Yeah. So boof. We are at Christina Kelly's yard sale.
Yeah.
And it is the day after Peter Madrigal's 30th birthday. Mm-hmm. And Christina, Kristen, and Stassi are all there. They've all like brought stuff to this yard sale to help Christina Kelly out. And they are recapping the night and how fucking insane Katie was.
And it seems to escalate after cameras stopped filming as well.
Yeah.
They said that Katie threw waters in everyone's face. Katie was calling all of them cunt bitches. Mm-hmm. And she said that Jax and Kristen had sex in January.
Woohoo! Yeah! Now we're having fun, people!
And then, this morning, in lieu of an apology, Katie texts Sandoval and says, "I know all about you and Ariana." Katie chose violence in such a major way. And she said to herself, "You know what? If I can't have a good night, none of you bitches can have a good night.
I'm taking all of you fuckers down with me.
If I'm fighting with my boyfriend, guess what? All of you bitches are going to fight with your boyfriend."
She truly was like, Stassi, Kristen, get in on this.
We're all having bad days now.
And Stassi is saying to Christina Kelly, "I could see Jax doing that. The problem is I don't know about Kristen." While Kristen is right
totally
there.
And Kristen's like, "I can't even believe you're entertaining that right now. Like,
yeah,
come on. I would never do that to you."
Yeah. And in a confessional, Kristen is like, "Stassi has trust issues. She's always had trust issues. But the thought of sleeping with Jax, it's absolutely ridiculous and really disgusting."
Which, knowing all that we know, to say the part about Stassi having trust issues actually is,
it's actually the
deeply
most,
sinister.
It's the most evil part of this all. It's like, come on, girl, you know that you have trust issues.
I wonder why she has trust issues.
No, literally, with
it couldn't
like
possibly
these.
Be because people have lied to her face over and over and over again.
And before they can really get into it, Katie arrives.
Oh my God.
The woman of the hour. And everyone's like, "Hey, girl. Hey, girly." And they're like, "So crazy night last night, huh?" And Katie's like, "Yeah, I remember some of it. I don't remember a lot of it." She's like fucking Jekyll and Hyde.
And Stassi immediately brings up the Kristen and Jax of it all. And Katie's like, "Sorry, that is horrible. That's a horrible rumor that I never should have brought up."
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the conversation just is like, okay, well, we're starting here and now we're just gonna poof, rattle them all off. Kristen's then starts telling Katie all of the various horrible things that she said and did last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie immediately starts crying.
Yeah.
And she's like, "I hate me more than you hate me, more than you hate me, more than you will eventually hate me. Like, don't even worry about it. I hate me the most."
This is why I really do just have a soft spot for Katie, because she is ultimately, for so many of these seasons of Vanderpump Rules, like a woman in deep, deep pain.
Yeah.
And
for most of the show.
And it's like, this is the thing, is like, she hates herself so much.
Mm.
And you can tell. It like pours out of her in these earlier seasons. And again, in later seasons as well. Really only like the last two seasons.
Yeah.
She seems to be like more herself.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, is that she like, she truly, truly hates herself. And part of something that becomes recurring is that that all comes out when she drinks.
Yeah.
And Kristen, I also think, rattles off all of the horrible things that Katie did, I believe, to discredit her.
Mm. Yes. Oh, totally. It's like used as a diversion tactic.
Yes, as like a shield of like, well, we can't trust this person who was on a rampage last night and just saying awful shit. She was saying horrible shit about everybody to everybody. Like, I absolutely believe that Kristen used all of the other stuff that Katie said as a way to be like, whoa, look over here.
For sure.
It's obviously, it doesn't make any sense. Katie was on one last night. Like, she was talking crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And Katie walks away crying. It's honestly really sad. It's like a very heartbreaking scene to watch, and watch like this woman who is really at the crux of it, just so deeply unhappy. Mm-hmm. And in a talking head, Stassi is like, if this thing about Kristen and Jax is true, all of our relationships are going to change.
Stassi's got a whiff of something, and trust, she will not stop until she gets to the bottom of it.
She is on the prowl.
Season
for
two,
the truth.
You will always be famous.
Season two, you are perfect.
And that's it for season two, episode 7, everybody. Thank you guys for all of the love and support and follows on our socials. Yeah. Pumpcast Rules on Instagram and TikTok has been popping off these days. So go follow us on those platforms, please, to see even more of the funny, goofy things that we are posting. Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Maddie Drosbeck.
You can follow me at Meg Ruoco.
And we will see you guys in next week's episode.
Bye.